Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to kpcradio.com. Today is October 19th. I'm your host, Skylar Lester, and you're listening to Exposure, where we shine light on notable figures in the world of photography. Today's guest is attorney, wine enthusiast, and photographer June Song. Hello, June. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on. So you have quite the long list of talents. Can you talk a little bit about how your work as an attorney, your love for wine, and your eye for photography all tie in together?
Yes, that's a good question. I think that being a lawyer, it's not necessarily the most creative thing. There's a lot of great people who are attorneys, and there's a lot of interesting things about the law. But the day-to-day grind is just very, very, very analytical, very, very cut and dry. So I think that being into wine and being into photography are both sort of creative ways to escape that sort of mundane everyday schedule that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to exercise that part of the brain. In photography, for instance, it's almost like sort of the opposite side of my brain. And wine is just really good for any reason.
Yeah. All the time.
All the time.
Do you have a favorite kind of wine?
I do, actually. Right now, my favorite wines are Beaujolais.
Can you tell me about that? I've not heard of that.
Yeah, there are 10 Cru Beaujolais villages. So those are where the best Beaujolais are made. It's made from the Gamay grape. It's from France. It's above Burgundy. And it's really good. Really nice, light, fresh sort of wines. Very fun. But they can be very serious, and they're actually going up in price. So get them now while you can.
Very interesting. So you definitely know a lot about wine. Are you training to be a sommelier, or...?
I did. That was a previous iteration of my life. I worked in hospitality. I worked at a butcher shop. I worked in restaurants. I worked at wine shops. And sort of prior to and even during law school, I thought maybe I could go into this instead of law because I really like interacting with people. I like making people happy. And I like the sort of the fun that goes into the hospitality world. But in the end, it's also very, very hard, a lot of work. And being a lawyer pays better.
And then when it comes to photography, I mean, how did you get into that?
I have sort of a lineage. So my mom is an artist. She went to art school in Korea. And my father was a journalist and photographer. And I was always sort of interested in that. But when I was in high school and college, I didn't really have access to film or, I was just too busy studying and doing other things. And it wasn't until pretty recently that I got into photography, and unfortunately it was through Instagram, so I was attracted to sort of the social aspect of it as well as the creative aspect. So I started getting into photography pretty seriously only about March of last year.
Wow, okay. So you've definitely, you've got a pretty large body of work for only being in photography that long. So how did you kind of make the connections in the photo world to find models and go forward with it?
It's kind of like hitting on people without being romantic. Although, given some of the subjects I photograph, I go up to them and I basically hit on them if I were to hit on them. But instead of being, oh, let's go on a date, I ask them, hey, would you like to do a photo shoot? And I think that the vast majority of people I ask, maybe 95% say yes. I meet people at bars, I meet people at cafes, I meet people at the gym, or even through Instagram, actually. I've met a lot of people through Instagram, a lot of my followers and people who I follow. I just sort of reach out to them, and they see the photography I do, and they know that I'm, a serious person, a serious photographer, and they say yes, usually. Mm-hmm. So I'm very fortunate.
So you're pretty active on Instagram then. Do you find that people reach out to you more or you reach out to them more?
It's about 50-50, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 50-50. And I haven't really counted, but it seems recently it's been increasing more. People have been reaching out to me, so I'm very thankful for that mm-hmm. as well. But it's just been a very great positive social experience, a very good supportive community of people just all across the world that I've been very lucky to be part of.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, other than what you learned from your father, do you have any formal training in photography?
The most formal training I have was I took half a semester of photography at Santa Monica College. Can I talk about another college?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Santa Monica College. last year, I didn't finish it because of some family things that came up, but it was really good because it really taught me about the trinity of, you know, light exposure and the composition. And the professor I had was very, very much a stickler for detail, for composition, for exposure, for focus, and all these things that I didn't really think about when I was just doing stuff on Instagram. And mm-hmm. so even the few weeks that I took at this, you know, junior college class was super, super interesting and super, 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 super useful.
Mm-hmm. And when you say that you're mainly working through Instagram, you're not using a phone to take these photographs, right?
I'm not, no.
Okay.
Thank God, no.
So you're uploading them later. Do you shoot digitally or analog?
Both, actually. So I shoot 95% digitally because it's just the initial investment is a lot, but then, you know, it's free afterward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I shoot 95% digital. But I do like to mess around with film. I do have two cameras that my father left me, mm-hmm. and one of them is a Nikon, just like an SLR. And the other one is a Rolleiflex twin lens reflex, like a medium format camera, and that's just really cool. It just gets a really good response from people when I take it out, and everyone's just really into it. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good, tangible reminder of my father, and it's a really good way to get people to let me take their photo mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece of equipment, and it has such an old charm about the way it looks.
Yeah.
So people are instantly kind of drawn to that, I think.
So many people just come up and talk to me about it, you know, at cafes, you know, older people, middle-aged people, young people, you know, just a lot of people, they point and look, mm-hmm. you know, and they smile, and it's great. It's great that, you know, especially in this day and age when I think a lot of photography, especially street photography, people might associate it with, like, paparazzi or mm-hmm. just with this surveillance state or whatever. It's nice to know that photography can still be this very transcendent, sort of positive societal shared experience,
mm-hmm.
Just even based on, you know, the piece of vintage equipment that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making connections with people
yeah.
through the camera.
Absolutely.
And what is it that you like about shooting film?
Film specifically?
Yeah.
I like the tactile nature of it. I like the fact that it makes you have to really concentrate and focus and know what you're doing and know what you want to do. When I use digital cameras, I just, you know, spray and pray, basically. It's like I take like 600 photos for you know, shoot, and yeah, that's good and bad, right? But I think with film, you know, I take a few rolls and that's it. Mm-hmm. And usually, you know, I get a very good percentage of usable shots from film, just because my perception, my mindset is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, far more intentional with
yes.
with every frame.
Yes.
Is there a specific place that you take your film to get it processed?
Yeah, usually I just drop it all off at lightroom.com. Use my code and get 20% off. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I wish it did. I send them a lot of business. But I send it all online and they scan it for me. And it's very useful, especially people who want to do film and do want to do Instagram with that film and don't have access to a film scanner, then it's a really good option.
Good to know, definitely. And you take some really beautiful portraits. It seems that that's your specialty. What is your process for shooting a portrait?
So I like to shoot portraits of people I know. So I usually, you know, try to talk to them somehow beforehand, try to sort of get an understanding of who they are. You know, a lot of the people I shoot are actors or actresses or models. So they're used to being in front of a camera, which is good. But I want to know what animates them. I want to know why they're doing their craft, what they're trying to express. I think it's, you know, there's Diane Arbus, you know, who you should shoot freaks, basically. And then you have other, I don't know, pretty much every Instagram photographer you see shoots beautiful people. But I like to shoot interesting people, you know. I think there's beauty in being interesting, and I want to sort of focus on what makes them them and what animates them, what drives them. And, So sort of the beginning stage is getting to know them as a person. And then after that, once they show up at the shoot, just really putting them at ease and really talking to them and trying to just say, look, just do, you know, whatever you want. Just like be natural. And then, I sort of try to get out of the way and let them do the talking. I am aware that photography is sort of an artificial process. You know, there is, ultimately, and I am, despite any concept of naturalism or letting things be as they are, I am the one directing things. So in as much as I have to direct them, it's just very, very neutral. Oh, you know, can you turn this way? Can you turn this way?
Mm-hmm.
Setting up the lights. And ultimately, I don't want to impose too much of my own vision on the portraits. And I think that shows, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. And some of your portraits look like they were done in studio. Do you have access to a studio?
I do. For a long time, I didn't. But then I discovered there's a great space in downtown LA that I rent. You can rent it by the hour. It's super cheap. They have all the lights, so you don't have to lug anything around. They have all the backdrop, so everything's set up for you, and all you have to do is sort of like, you know, then use it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very useful, and it's really taken my portraiture, I think, to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was just sort of at the mercy of the streets, or the mercy of the light on that particular wall. And that's really no way to do photography if you want to do, you know, consistent portraiture. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what's the name of that studio space?
It's called FD Photo Studios, and they have a few locations. The one I do is on 8th Street in the Flower District, Los Angeles, and it's a really cool neighborhood.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you had talked a little bit about being inspired by the work you had seen on Instagram. Are there any specific Instagram pages that you are really into or you like to follow and keep up with?
You know, it's weird. No. I have this weird thing where, you know, Instagram is not only about exposure to photography. It's a social thing, a social network. So, you know, I'm very much into, like, if you don't, you know, engage with me, I'm not going to engage with you. So a lot of, like, these, you know, big Instagram photographers I don't really follow because it's sort of a one-sided relationship, and
mm-hmm.
I have enough of those in my life. but you know, I think that for me, you know, I really take inspiration from, you know, the big modernist photographers, from artists of any medium, from dancing, from musicians, poets even, and I take a lot of inspiration from that instead. Not necessarily from Instagram.
Yeah. That's awesome. And you have some really beautiful nudes on your website or on your Instagram page, nude and partially nude portraits. So can you talk a little bit about tasteful nudity?
Yeah. You know, there's that who is that Supreme Court justice? They're talking about pornography, and basically the standard is, you know, you know it when you see it. And so I think tasteful nudity is sort of that, you know it when you see it. And I think that part of it is it shouldn't feel exploitative. And I think a lot of nudity on Instagram specifically has been critiqued for being very much exploitative or exploitative feeling or the quote-unquote male gaze or objectifying. And I never want to be in a position where, you know, it could be said that I'm objectifying my subjects. And I think that trying to adhere to classical or vintage forms of form really help. So, you know, a lot of the nudity that, or the nude work that I do, I try to get them to sort of pose in sort of like a Renaissance fashion, or have the lighting so it's very, very much chiaroscuro, or, you know, or like sort of vintage sort of pinup style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just nudity for the sake of nudity.
Yeah, I got that from your work. Like, it definitely seemed tasteful.
Thank you.
And it did have that vintage feel to it.
Thank you. Tell my mom, please. But she's an artist, too, and she understands.
She understands.
She's like, which is interesting conversation to have with your mom when she sees all these nude photos. And she's like, why are you taking all these photos? And I'm like, well, you're an artist too. And she's like, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. funny.
I mean, you see nudity in sculpture and paintings, so.
The human form is just endlessly beautiful. And then like, mm-hmm. when you manipulate light, it's just so much, you add another layer to that. And mm-hmm. when you add, you know, and the same thing in poetry, there's like the subtext to work, why you have a poem and what the meaning is. And, you know, if you use a particular form in a poem, why you're using that the history behind all that informs not only poetry, that can inform a photo. So, you know, if you're going back to the Renaissance, for instance, why am I doing that? You know, what's the decision I'm making to make that? And I think that it gives sort of a 3D quality to photography. Not my photography per se, but any photography. Like, it's just not a photo of, you know, a hamburger, or it's not a photo of, you know, a building or a naked person. It means something because it's rooted in history. It's rooted in these tried and true forms. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I'm striving to do in my work.
Mm-hmm. It's narrative.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what steps do you take to make your subjects feel comfortable when you're doing a nude shoot?
Well, I think one of the things about FD Studio, there's people who work right outside, so I think that helps put people at ease, not being alone in this cavernous industrial, you know, warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And, you know, a lot of the people who do the nude portraiture with me, they already have done it, / they express their interest that they want to do it with me. So I know that it's okay. But I remember the first nude work that I did, I was actually very nervous, because
mm-hmm.
The model had hinted, oh yeah, you know, I want to do some, you know, types of shots. Oh, okay. And they've done it before. And then we got to the shoot, and she was losing more and more clothing as the shoot went on. I was okay. But then for me, you know, just like really communicating with the model, just making it more about a collaborative vision, just saying, oh, what do you want to do, or how do you want to pose, or what is your vision, and sort of working with that versus me doing like a Terry Richardson sort of, you know, do this, you know, sort of dynamic. I think that really helps, making mm-hmm. it more of a collaborative effort.
Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure to talk about Cheap Shots Project.
Okay.
So can you just give our listeners a little background?
So Cheap Shots Project is, it's a collaboration with photographers I met on Instagram from Los Angeles, Seattle, from the United States, other countries, and basically brings these photographers together through the shared medium of disposable cameras. And the reason for disposable cameras, it's sort of a nod to society right now, consumer society, to Instagram, how everything seems to be disposable. But also a sort of a throwback to film. You know, to force us to use film and to force us to use an instrument that is inherently very, very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about that earlier on the show, you know, the limits, the limitations that film imposes just in terms of composition, but having only, you know, 24 exposures and having no way to change aperture, no way to change shutter speed or anything, just being totally at the mercy of this little machine,
mm-hmm.
And seeing how that goes, and seeing how 10 photographers at a time, for instance, will interpret and work within the confines of working with disposable cameras.
And how is it that you came up with the idea for this project?
You know, a few years ago, I saw a young couple at a New Year's party, or a New Year's concert, I think. I think it was like a Nick Waterhouse concert up in San Francisco. And they had a disposable camera, and it was like in this huge, cavernous, dark-lit venue. And they had like this little camera, and they're snapping away on, you know. And I was like, at the time, I was like, that's ridiculous. You know, what are they doing? This is not the time or place for that. But, you know, that sort of stayed with me, this idea of disposable cameras and just how disposable cameras, also by their very nature being disposable, being very cheap, it also encourages you to take shots you might not necessarily take with, say, like a Rolleiflex. You know, mm-hmm. just putting in your pocket and going to a concert, you know, taking it with you and hanging out with friends or just doing weird, crazy shots. So the more I thought about it, you know, the more I thought about those kids, I was like, oh, this is really actually a pretty cool medium. Mm-hmm. And I want to explore it.
And typically, how many people at a time participate in the project?
So I try to do, so this is the second iteration right now. And every time I invite 10 photographers. And sometimes, you know, some people don't return their cameras, but that's fine. But, you know, I try to do 10 at a time. And so far, it's been, this is the second series, and it's been getting a lot of attention, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Through Instagram, mainly?
Through Instagram. Yeah, the thing is, it's all Instagram right now, but I think eventually, you know, I want to get sort of a critical mass going where it's been a lot of iterations, a lot of different photographers, and so, you know, maybe do, I don't know, some sort of print component of it, mm-hmm. maybe some sort of magazine component of it, maybe like an exhibition sometime. Yeah. But, you know, it's really sort of a nascent stage right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's an exciting stage.
Yeah. And when did you start the project?
I started last November-ish, last October, so it's been about a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's fresh, but...
It's pretty fresh. I've dragged it along because, like, you know, I've had stuff happen in my life and, you know, I've traveled and so I've been lazy about it. But, you know, I feel like I should be more focused and, like, just really be like, okay, these are the photographers I want to work with. And I have like, hundreds of photographers that I want to work with. So it's just a matter of reaching out and getting organized and you know, being regular about it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Do you provide them with the camera, or do they just buy any disposable camera?
They buy, but I get it processed.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They buy the cameras, and then I pay for shipping, and then I get it processed. And I think that one of the future steps for me is somehow, you know, make it so it doesn't cost me money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through sponsors or, I don't know, something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if somebody, for instance, maybe one of our listeners was interested in becoming a part of the project, how could they go about getting involved?
Well, they can visit me through either of my Instagram accounts at June, J-O-O-N underscore balloon, or at cheap_shots_project. And it just sent me a direct message, just slide into the DM. And, you know, I'm not going to say yes to everyone, but I think if you're a serious photographer and, you know, especially if you already are doing film, then I'd be inclined to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a good way to meet people and see what people across the country are doing.
Yeah, it's very cool that it's not limited to your local area. It can be even out of the country, somebody could submit and you'd get such a variety of images.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, for me too, I was getting bored of my own work. So I think it's really cool to have a hand in other people's creative processes and to see what they come up with. And I think that that's been one of the more rewarding aspects of this project is to see, you know, people from Reno, Nevada, or, you know, from France or Chicago just come up and see what their lives are like.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives me a little glimpse of their day to day.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of an intimate peek into their lives.
Absolutely.
So what are your plans for the future when it comes to photography and Cheap Shots?
Well, I think Cheap Shots, eventually I do want to do exhibitions. I do want to make it sort of more of a formal sort of ongoing project. I see a lot of opportunity, you know, just... You know, have an exhibition in LA, have an exhibition in different cities, different countries, just like really, really, you know, like even like pop up sort of exhibitions, make
mm-hmm.
it very cheap and disposable as well to keep with the theme. But for my own work, my portraiture, I just really want to get better at it, do more of it. You know, some of the influence that I have are, you know, Irving Penn, Ed Weston, just really be. At a place where I can do work, where I can say, yeah, it's very much like these modernist masters, and sort of, you know, be able to compare myself to them. I think that ultimately it'll take many years or maybe not get there at all, but I think that's a worthy goal.
Definitely a worthy goal.
Yeah.
And so you already did share your two Instagram links. Do you have a website that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes, it's JunioCancion. com.
Can you spell that?
Yes, it's June Song in Spanish, so it's J U nioCANCION.com.
.com. Okay.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we are all out of time for today, but it was really nice talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
Yeah, it definitely has been. And as always, thank you to our listeners for tuning in. For KPCRadio.com, I'm your host, Skylar Lester. Have a great day.